I'm lying in bed when I hear the commotion. I peer through the doorway of my room, and right outside, the new guy is getting in Ruiz's face. There's a phone right outside the door, one of those sturdy metal payphones. It looks like it's been carried in from the street. And Ruiz, a gentle older man with shoulders stooped by the demoralization of his nth relapse and hospitalization, is just trying to talk to his family. But the new guy has been manic and pacing since he arrived a few hours ago, and he won't take no for an answer. I watch the new guy stalk the other way across the doorway, muttering to himself, menacing even in retreat. Then a warning shout echoes from much too far in the distance, and he appears once again, flying near horizontal, to tackle Ruiz, dragging him off the phone. The staff quickly take him down. Thankfully, no one was seriously hurt. Shaken, I try to focus on my journal, but my mind races. My roommate, a burly, middle-aged guy with a scar down the side of his head, attesting to the brain injury that's brought him back here over and over again, turns to me laconically and says, "There goes dinner." I'm 29 years old, writing in my journal in a sloppy felt-tip pen, no ballpoints are allowed, trying to understand how I went from being a newly minted physician in a psychiatry residency program at Columbia University to a psychiatric patient at Bellevue, the city's notorious public hospital. Bellevue is synonymous with the most challenging chronic mentally ill cases, and now I'm locked on the dual diagnosis ward on the 20th floor, near the top of the building, where they put people who have both substance use problems and other mental disorders. I've already recognized some of the faculty from when I applied here for residency, and I know from the tour I took as an applicant that the special prison ward, protected by a guardhouse with bulletproof glass and thickly barred gates, is a floor below us. I need that phone those two men were fighting over. It's my only way to reach the outside world, that other plane of reality where I was once a psychiatry resident. I'm having trouble accepting that I belong here, not there. Day by day, it seems more likely that what the doctors have been telling me is correct, that just like the new guy, I too have had a manic episode, in my case induced by weeks of stimulants and alcohol. But I'm still not sure what I should do. The next day, I meet with the whole treatment team, half a dozen psychiatrists, therapists, and counselors facing me across a massive table in one of those windowless hospital conference rooms. For the first time, I truly let my guard down and recount my whole drinking history. How I grew up with two alcoholic parents and swore to myself I'd never be like them. How, even as I finished medical school at Columbia, I had the creeping sense that my drinking was out of control. How the blackouts got more and more frequent, but I didn't reach out for help, and I didn't accept the help that friends, colleagues, and supervisors had all offered, then implored me to take. I tell them everything, even the one time that I woke up on the floor of the hallway in my building, shirtless, my skin sticking to the tacky linoleum, locked out of my own apartment. It was only by getting up to the roof and climbing down the fire escape that I made it into work that day at all. I was late again, and so ashamed and scared by what it said about me. It was obvious that something was wrong, but I never told anyone about it, because to do so would be to acknowledge what I had long suspected. They ask me about my family, and I tell them about my father's four rehabs and the bottles of wine my mother secreted around the house. I describe my parents as alcoholics, as I usually do, but I also finally give voice to that dangerous suspicion about myself. And I'm starting to realize that I'm an alcoholic too. And I break down crying. Despite all this, later that weekend, I call my friend Ravi from that payphone, looking down the disorientingly long hallway that stretches the whole length of the ward. He's helping me with all the logistics, setting up disability insurance, getting my rent paid, and generally making it possible for me to go to rehab, a place I don't quite want to go to, but I'm told that I need.